right, let's give it up for them. Keith on the keyboard made his singing debut in that video. We're going to slide a mic over. He hit a high note, too. This is what I'm going to kick it off today, and if you got your Bible, it's 1 Corinthians 10:13 that's going to be on the screen. But here's the topic of my sermon today, me too. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, I'm not really sure where we're going with this, but me too. Here's the thing, if you can go back to that title slide here. Here's the thing about this show, This Is Us. It's a show about the connections of several people who have distinctly different lives, but it shows the connections that they have. There are several people who have the same birthday, and it just chronicles their lives and their brothers and sisters and their father. They have the same birthday. And this is not my thing to say, go watch the show, but although you will be blessed by the show. But it's a white family who the mother was pregnant with triplets, and when she went to the hospital, she lost one of the triplets. Meanwhile, there was an African-American father who he and his, I don't know if it was his wife or his girlfriend, were on drugs. He made a decision that he was going to drop his African-American son off at the fire station. One of the guys from the fire station took the son home, and the wife said, we can't keep this child. He took him to the hospital, and in a moment, the doctor had a conversation with his family that you see on the screen and said, listen, I know you came here today to take three babies home. One of your triplets has died, but there is someone who's dropped the baby off at the hospital. It's not the way you think it's going to happen, but you can leave here with three babies today. So here this Caucasian family leaves with two of their own children and one child that's been dropped off that is African American, and the story begins about how their lives intertwine with each other, and you see their issues, you see their struggles as well as their triumphs. So today I'm going to kick off this series by showing you that everybody in this room is dealing with something. Let me just get an honest poll of the room. Just going to be honest. Anybody here dealing with something? Raise your neighbor's hand. Throw your feet up too. We all dealing with something. And the enemy wants to fool you into thinking you are the only one that's going through what you're going through. You should be embarrassed by what you're going through. And you will never overcome what you're dealing with. If you go to my next slide there. And it's this. The goal of the enemy is to isolate you by getting you to think that you're the only one and no one will understand you. As a result, you'll be overwhelmed, have the wrong perspective of your situation, and you will never connect with the right people to make an impact in the earth. But I want to show you today that we're all going through something and we all have these me too moments. Somebody say me too. Me too. All right, go to my next slide here. Here's the first point. I'm going to get to the scripture here. You are not the only one. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor. You are not the only one. 1 Corinthians 10:13, I'm going to focus on the first part of that, the scripture here. If you've been in church for any length of time, you know this. If not, let's just follow along with this. It says, no temptation has taken you, but such as is common to man. Testing and temptation is common to every person who has breath in their body. We can be very different from people, but there's always something that connects us. I want to let you know this morning, you are not crazy. I know I got you talking to your neighbor or not, but look at your neighbor and say, you're not crazy. Look at me again and say, no, you hesitated. Look at him and tell him, you're not crazy. I'm not crazy and I'm not going to let you make me think I'm crazy. Anybody get to that point in life? I know I'm not crazy. I know the stuff that I'm going through, that God's trying to work something out in my life. But do you ever hear somebody talk about their struggle in their life and you really want to just nudge them on the shoulder and say, me too? We all have these Me Too moments, and I get the privilege of doing a lot of weddings. And after I say the vows or I say certain things, I get the couple to say, repeat after me, and if you agree, say I do. Well, I'm going to take you guys through a little ceremony here, and if you can identify with what I'm saying, when I get finished, I want you to say Me Too. Let's try it out. Somebody say it. Me Too. Parents. Do I have any parents in the room? Any parents, you say this. My kids hear people say the same thing I say all the time. And they believe them and treat them like geniuses, and they act like I have no idea what I'm talking about, and I want to strangle them. If you ever had that experience, say it. Anybody in here that has a job, and you're saying, I'm trying to praise God, I'm trying to listen to the good word, Reverend, of what you're bringing this morning, but I just remember that tomorrow is Monday, and I have to go to this job that I really don't like. If you ever had that experience, say it. Married couples, in the married couples in the house, you say, I love my spouse, God knows I do. But there are days that everything they do works my nerves. If that's you, say it. Single people, can you wave your hands in the air? You ever say to yourself, I know I'm single, but if one more married person that is going home to a bed with somebody that they love tells me to hold on that God's going to send me somebody, I'm going to snap. If you ever had that experience, say it. Is anybody here say, I need that challenge again because I failed last week and I cut six folks out and their dog, but I still love God? I don't know if you want to say that, but if it is you, say it. Is anybody here that says, you know, sometimes I just think about how good God has been? And I don't want to scare anybody on my road, but when I think of the goodness of Jesus and all that is done for me, my hands go up, tears come down my eyes, because you don't know like I know what the Lord has done for me. If you've ever had that experience, say it. Yeah. Some of y'all say, I feel that thing right now. Anybody here that just, this is the last one, you feel like you got a purpose that's bigger than what you can describe and bigger than what anybody knows. And you feel like God is up to something absolutely incredible in your life that is beyond your comprehension. If that is where you are right now, say it. If you'll notice, all of us in here had some Me Too moments. Me Too moments are our points of connection. You go to my next slide here. There was a point in the movie when they delivered the child that there was a doctor who was extremely blunt, who connected with the father, and he told him about what was going on. And he said, listen, I lost my wife to cancer years ago. That's the reason why I work so much. And in this moment, they had a point of connection. They had a Me Too moment. Being honest about what you're going through is one of the best things you can do. There's sometimes you can't over-spiritualize what you're going through. There's some moments you need to just say, listen, I'm lonely. I'm angry. I know you can put it in tongues and you got 5,000 verses for how you feel, and when God gets through processing me, I'm going to come out matriculated like gold. But there were some moments where you just say, I'm angry right now. There's a moment you say, I'm lonely, I'm going through, I don't know how this is going to work out. And it's in those moments when you can be honest and say, God, I need you to help me. But here's what else God does. He sends other people into your life. You ask people if they're struggling. People that are struggling, have you talked to anybody? Most of them will say, no, ain't nobody going to understand. The reality is you don't know they're not going to understand until you begin to open up your mouth and begin to express what you're going through. Nobody is anointed to read your mind. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, I am not anointed to read your mind. You have to tell me what you're going through. Here's the thing about this. Testing is common, but not everyone is being tested. Now, you can't tell everybody, but there's always somebody in your life that God sent to you. The common is for you, it's not for everybody else per se. It's to let you know that you're not crazy, that God is doing something in your life, and you need to be able to share these moments. I've had these moments where people have busted my bubbles. I've talked to pastors, and I said, you know what? I want to do this incredible stuff. I want to do something different. And they just tap me on the shoulder and say, me too. We all start out wanting to do something extremely different. We all start out having a vision and keep pursuing that, but you got to share that because you're not the only one that wants to do something different. Somebody say, me too. Here's the temptation, to pull away and to go through alone because you think you are the only one. You need to connect with people to get help, not to have partners in crime. And you find somebody who loves to cuss, and you say, me too, and y'all just cussing everybody out. That's not the point of the Me Too moment. The point of the Me Too moment is so y'all can go through together and say, we got to do better than this. You all right in here? Me Too moments are about you getting extra help. It's also about this. It gives you perspective because everything you go through, it's all in how you see it. And if you can have somebody that can challenge the way you see your situation, things will change. The next thing is this, before I go to my next point. It's all in how you respond to the testing that you're going through. This week we went to Six Flags, and I finally got Isaiah on a roller coaster. And I was like, all right, me and Isaiah were on a roller coaster. But there was a couple that was in front of us, and that little boy, when he got through, his eyes were as big as saucers. I was trying to cover Isaiah's eyes, and the mamas were as big as saucers too. I didn't want him to see them go through. Because it took everything I had to get him on this roller coaster, and I wanted him to experience the ride of a lifetime. So I said, don't look at him. I said, please do not look at them. He said, Daddy, I don't know about this. I don't know about this, Daddy. I said, just trust me. It's going to be all right. We got on the roller coaster, and when we got through, he said, I'm so glad I did that. Can I tell you something, to be honest with you? Watching some of us go through is the same way. Some of us will make people think marriage is the worst thing that ever happened. Having a job is the worst thing that ever happened. You go through something, you got everybody around you scared. Sometimes it's not about what you're going through. It's how you go through it, because God's going to bring you out. You just got to have the right perspective. That makes sense in here? Next point is this. God is faithful. God is faithful. That connect with anybody here? God won't cheat on you. God won't step out on you. God won't forsake you. God is faithful, and God doesn't want you to fail, and God will not let you fail. Man, you ought to make that confession every day. God is faithful. God doesn't want me to fail, and God will not let me fail. Where do you get that from? 1 Corinthians 10 and 13 is right there in front of you. No temptation has taken you, but such is common to man. And God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. Whatever you're going through right now, God is leading you through it. You are not by yourself. God is right there in the thick of it. As a matter of fact, he was there before you got there. You ever notice this about doors? Doors were not created when you got in the situation. The mere fact that you can walk in here through a door shows that somebody was preparing for you to come. God has prepared a door, an entrance, and an exit to everything that you go through. You got to trust God that he's already been there and that God's going to bring you through it. Here's the thing about testing your life. They are allowed by God. God's not being tested. You are. Isn't it funny when we go through, we question God, when the reality is God is using the test to bring something great out of us, because God's been doing this a long time and he still hasn't changed. The test was not allowed for you to fail, but it was allowed for you to recall that everything that God has taught you to do. Go to my next slide here. I want to show you what God does. Let me show you the nature of a faithful God during your test. There was a lady who in the, I think her name was Kate. She went to a camp to lose weight, and there was an antagonistic guy there who was the son of the owners who was just negative about everything he did. Matter of fact, he used the vulnerability of the women there as his way of just sliding in and getting what he wanted from them. But this guy exhibited natures that God does not exhibit when you go through. Can I tell you what God will not do when you're being tested? God will not be critical of you. Critical leaders create a lack of confidence and insecurity, and you're always second-guessing yourself. Here's what God does. Instead of being critical, God empowers you during what you're going through and lets you know that you can make it. Here's the next thing about God. God is not an avoider. He's not a passive-aggressive God. Avoiding leaders create disengaged followers. Disengaged followers don't feel like the leader cares, and they feel like they're out there by themselves, so they just go try stuff, and they said, if you don't care, why should I care? But what God does is let you know, I'm in the middle of your situation because I care about you, and I will confront everything that confronts you so that you can pass your test. Somebody that say, God wants me to pass my test. Here's the next thing about God. God is not a controller. Somebody say, thank you, Jesus. Anybody want to have a Me Too honest moment and say you struggle with control issues? I'm going to raise my hand for a bunch of y'all in here. Here's the great thing about God. He is not a controlling leader. Controlling leaders create compliant followers who just do exactly what they ask him to do, and they don't think. God wants you to use your mind and think as he thinks in the situation. And when you're in a situation, God wants you to say, how would God think in this situation, and how should I respond? The next thing about God is this. God is not an unhealthy rescuer. Being a rescuer produces immaturity and helplessness, because you always know that you don't have to do anything because that person is going to rescue you. I'll go in and spend all my money. My parents are going to bail me out. I'll go in and do whatever I need to do because somebody's always going to be there to rescue me. Here's the thing about God. God will let you stay stuck right where you are until you learn the lesson. The public school system, you know, they feel bad for you because they don't want you with a mustache sitting in a little bit you 16 in the second grade with a mustache. They won't just pass you on and put you in a special class. God will let you sit there, mustache and all, in an immature situation until you catch the lesson. And you frustrated with what's around you when the reality is God is trying to grow you up. God, he will rescue you from trouble if you want to learn the lesson of the trouble that you're going through. That makes sense in here? Here's what God does when you're going through. He gives you permission to fail. What? A rescuer steps in because you don't want to see him fail. How many got kids in here? You ever see your kids get ready to do something, and instead of letting your kids experience failure, you go in and step in? But if they never experience that failure, they will never know what it means to stand up on their own two feet and figure things out. What God does, he lets you fail and rescue you just so you'll learn the lesson and said, listen, I'm God, regardless of what happens in your life, but I want you to learn the lesson of what you're going through. I've learned that in my own life. I've sat at a gas tank with $5 in my account when I was in college, and I had to make a decision. Am I going to get these two hot dogs for $2 and some ice water in here, or am I going to put $5 in my tank and sit here and just be hungry? I'm going to be full of these hot dogs, and God let me just sit right there. I put $5 in my tank, and I did not eat that day until I got, anybody know what I'm talking about? No, man, I ain't going to ask you to raise your hand. Until I paid, but God let me learn the lesson, because he said, Jason, if you don't know what it means to struggle, you'll never be resourceful. If you never hear no in your life, you will always shut down at the minute of resistance. He said, I'm not going to rescue you out of this. I'm going to let you learn the lesson and go through it, because it grows you up. The next thing is this, I'm through. The last point is this. There's always a way of escape so you can endure your test. That's good news for somebody in here. 1 Corinthians 10:13, the last part says this. But with the temptation, we'll provide the way of escape also so that you can endure it. There's always an exit to every situation in life. Can I talk to somebody here who feels like you're in a situation you cannot get out of? If you got in it, God can get you out of it. There is an exit to every, I don't see it. You don't have to see it. God said, I want you to trust me. What are God's ways of escape? I'm going to give you God's ways of escape. Let me give you the first way of escape that God gives you is this. Your first way of escape is people. You click on that slide. Your first way of escape is people. Y'all, anybody watch the show in here? You will remember these things. There was a young guy, the African-American young boy, his name was Randall, was extremely smart, extremely bright, but he had anxiety issues. And whenever he would get so in his head, his father would have to grab him by the head and by his ears and calm him down. There was a moment when Randall was trying to save everybody, and he had a nervous breakdown on his job. And at his brother's opening night of his great play, his brother sensed something wasn't right. Aren't you glad that God puts you on people's mind? Anybody ever text you out of the blue and say, how you doing today? The Lord put you on my mind. And you wanted to break down and just fall up under something, but you just acted strong like, how y'all know? How much do you know? What did God tell you? But the reality is you want to say, thank God that somebody's praying for me, but you got to act hard, act like, you know, they don't know. God always puts you on somebody who loves you mind so they can pray you through, so they can connect with you, and they have no clue what you're going through. The next time that happens, open your heart, because whenever God puts somebody on your mind, he always gives you something to give to them. Y'all remember when his father died, he was able to do the same thing to his father. So when God's way of escape many times is people. And some of us want to push people away. You don't want people close to you. I don't want nobody in my business. I have been there before. Can I ask you a question? How is that working for you? It's not. When God sends people in your life, here's the crazy part about people who love you. Most of the time, we think we have them food, and we do not have them food. You make them think, oh, there's nothing going on in my life. People who know you know when something's going on in your life. Somebody tell the truth in here. They sense when something is not right. They may not can put their finger on it. When God gives people that inroads into your life, go on and be honest. That is your way of escape. The next way of escape God uses is this. God sometimes redirects you. I told you how the story starts. This African-American young man was not raised by his natural birth father. God transplanted him and put him with the family that raised him in a certain environment. There comes a point in life where you ought to thank God for some no's that happened. You ought to thank God for some of those no's, that job you didn't get, that relationship that did not work out. Sometimes God redirects you because we think we know best, but God sees the end from the beginning. And there are some things in your life that God says, listen, I'm going to make sure you're in the right environment to succeed. There are some hard things that I've seen people have to deal with in life. I have seen people angry. I've known guys who are angry with their father. I don't know why he wasn't in my life. And then when they tell me about their father, he was a drug addict, he was abusive, he just ran game on people. And the same guy that I'm talking to once, his father got a hold of his Social Security number and opened up credit cards in his name, and his credit was messed up because his father was a manipulator. And I said, listen, can I be honest with you? This may hurt, but one of the best things that happened was the fact that he was not present, because if you think he hurt you being away from you, think what damage would have happened if he was right there in the middle of what was going on. I mean, I like that, but sometimes it's true. Sometimes God knows what people are going to do, and he has a way of isolating you and protecting you. God redirects you. I'm glad God redirected me. Because if God had not redirected me, I'd have been in some big city trying to struggle to make a pastor. But God sent me in the middle of nowhere. God sent me. We didn't have a vestibule right now. We in the middle of just absolutely nowhere, but this is God's divine plan. And when you trust the God's divine plan, he'll send provision from the north, south, east, and the west. What else is God's way of escape? God's way of escape is second chances. Anybody here thank God for a second chance? Come on, anybody thank God for a second chance in here? That was good, but anybody thank God for a second chance? Well, if you need a second chance, can we praise God in advance that he's going to give us a second chance? I thank God for the second chances I have, but there were some moments in my life where I need God to do it again. So God, I'm going to say, if you did it before, please do it again. Your way of escape may be God's grace. I'm showing you Randall, the young African-American guy that was raised in the Caucasian family. This is his father on the screen. This is him when he started out. He was going to be, I don't know, a blues singer, but he got caught up on drugs. At some point in his life, and I'll talk about it later, he reconnected with his son when the situation was perfect. And his son, when he was dying, took him back to the place that he started out in and let him relive his second chance. He came alive again when he touched that piano. He came alive again when he went back in the situation healthy. Can I tell you in here, can I speak this over your life? God is about to give you a second chance at love. God is about to give you a second chance at success. God is about to give you a second chance at the very thing that you thought you would never have. I know you've been through some stuff. I know some stuff has taken its toll on you. But we serve a God of a second chance. And your way of escape is God saying, thank you, Jesus. I'm going to do it again in your life. You thought it was over. You thought it was through. But I serve a God of a second chance. You can't do it, but God is going to do it. Does anybody believe God for a second chance in here? I need you to praise him right now and say, God, I thank you that my second chance is coming. Last point, and I'm through. Here's another way of God's escape is a release. When the young lady went to the camp to lose weight, they were in a moment, and they were just thinking about all the things they had bottled up. Because sometimes what you're dealing with is a secondary effect of something on the inside. Sometimes you have migraines not because you have a medical condition, but because you got so much stuff bottled up on the inside of you. Sometimes the stuff you're going through has nothing to do with what you physically see, but it's something great on the inside that you're dealing with, and you just need a point of release. This morning, I was outside walking around, and I was talking to Randall. Randall said, get somewhere and sit down. I don't know where Randall's at. He said, man, you're doing too much. Go focus on your sermon. I said, I got too much nervous energy. This is my way of getting it out. He said, you need a run in the morning. What Randall did not know is that the Lord woke me up at 6 o'clock this morning and said, Jason, I need you to go for a run. He didn't say run. He knew I ain't gonna run. He said, I need you to go for a walk. The Lord, he knew he wasn't talking to me when he said run. I'm not about to run. He said, I need you to get up. At 6 o'clock, my eyes popped wide open. And I told the Lord, I said, I'll try it next Sunday. I did. Y'all laughing at me. Y'all done the same thing. I need you to pray this week. Well, Lord, I feel bad for the person he told you to pray for. I hope somebody else prayed for him. I said, Lord. What he was trying to do is, and he reminded me this morning, he said, that's your way of let me speak to you and you get all that nervous energy off of you. There's a point in life that some of you in here, I can sit all over your face. It's just written all over your face. You don't have to say a word. You just need a release. You know what to do. You know how to do it. But you got so much balled up energy and so much balled up frustration that you just need to get to a point. And just for some of us, it's going up on top of a mountain. It's praising God. You know what I love about church? Church is the only place that you can yell out and nobody think you're crazy. You can be sitting there in the middle of nothing. Nobody just singing, thank you, to the top of your voice. And nobody will look at you like, security. It's the only time when somebody's up preaching, you can say, say a word, sir, say it. You better break it down, pastor. I love hearing people talk back to the preacher. Church is the only place where you can do stuff like that. Or ball games. And I think that's why people like ball games. Because they got all that pent-up energy and they come in there and drink a beer and just scream at everybody. Who winning? I don't even care. It just feel good being here. I'm serious. Some people ride motorcycles. Some people ride bicycles. Some people work out. Some people eat. And it just piles up on you. Some people work for a release. But everybody needs to find a place of release. Because when you release, you can begin to do the things that God has done for you. I'm going to challenge you in a moment. When you release in worship, God pours himself out into everything that you poured out. And listen, it's not about being emotional. It's not about just running 90 miles an hour up and down the aisles. It's about when you release, God does something in your life. And I'm crazy enough to believe that all of us in here having some Me Too moments, that there's some stuff going on in your life. And if you don't do anything else, because most of you know what to do, you need to get some stuff off of you. The reason why your words have such a bite, the reason why you find out everything's getting on your nerves, it's not that it's worthy of getting on your nerves. You're just in a vulnerable position. You need to get some stuff off of you. Because the very thing that's getting on your nerves, you ignored last week. The very thing you don't like in your spouse, they've had it since you've been married. Now the love and the grace has worn off. It's getting on your nerves. You all right in here? That very little kid that ran up to you, mama, oh, it just feels so good to hear mama. I've always wanted to be somebody's daddy. Now you heard it for the 13th time. He said, if you don't shut up. No, look, y'all look right ahead at me. Just look right ahead at me. I'm going to lose it. What happens is you need a release. Your coworker is liable to take you to lunch and send you flowers when you get this off of you. Your spouse is liable to say, Lord, what in the world happened to you? When you finally get this off of you, there's a way of escape. You're going to see clear. Can you stand to your feet all over the building? I'm going to give you a moment of release. I'm going to give you a moment. God's way of escape are people, second chances, where you get a release, and he often redirects you. But the one I want you to exercise right now, I want you to release everything that you're going through in worship. It's not about formality. It's not about emotions. It's about you getting this off of you so God's presence can get in you. And I want to challenge you. You may walk. You may come to the altar and kneel. You may just sit down and reflect. You may just lift your hands and let the tears flow. For some of you, it may not be an emotion. It may just be sitting there and just let God, I'm empty. Pour into me. But whatever you do, I want you to get your release this morning. Come on, I want you to start right now. Pour your heart out to God. Don't you be worried about who's around you. I need to be quiet. This is not the moment to be reserved. This is the moment to release. God, frustrated. God, I need your help. Somebody, did you just need just to get it off for you? Come on, pour it out to God. Pour your heart out to him. God, I don't understand you. And I need you to help me. I'm going through right now. Come on, pour your heart out to God. This is your moment. It's just you and God. Just be honest. I'm trying to control everything. I'm trying to put everything together, and it's not working. This is your moment of release. Why didn't that break for me? Why didn't that happen for me? God, I thought I heard you. This is your moment of release. There's not a situation that God will get you in that he will not allow you to get out of. God's not critical. He's not avoiding you. He's not controlling. God's going to be right there. Come on, let's worship him right now. Come on, worship. I want you to get a release this morning. God, you see, I got a lot of pressure on me, God. There's a lot of expectation on me. I don't want to fail. I don't want to repeat the patterns of the past. God, I talk a good game, but I want to live as high as I preach. I want to live as high as I encourage people. God, I don't want to be that person who saves the world and loses his soul. Pour your heart out to him right now. God, I don't know right now. I've been hurt by this. I've been hurt by that. And you saying, trust me, but I'm not sure about this. I'm good. You've convinced yourself you're good by yourself, but the reality, there's something that's longing for a connection. There's something that's longing for something deeper than where you are. Pour your heart out to him. God, I am tired of being single. If you're tired of the state you're in, I'm not trying to rush you. I'm not trying to complain, but this is my heart's cry. Tell him I want my marriage to go to a deeper level. I know you're a healer. God, I want to see you heal my life. I'm dealing with frustrating situations, and I can only do what I can do. And God, I need you to help out. I need you to step in. Release it to him right now. I'm tired of doing the same stupid stuff over and over again. I know you forgive me, but I want to be delivered from this. Release your heart. Release your heart to him. You can't forgive. I speak the peace of God over your life. Hallelujah. There it is. There it is. Thank you for your release. Thank you for your release. I'm leaving lighter. I'm leaving full of your presence.
You are
in the name of Jesus. You're good.
You're good.
We honor you now. In the name of Jesus.
You are good.
You're good, God.
You're good, Lord.